Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, there was a time not so long ago when terms such as mindfulness, meditation and wellness were buzzwords found in niche corners of the internet. But these days, they're very much part of corporate discourse. Indeed, by 2027, the global wellness industry is expected to grow 57% to a whopping $7.73 trillion. So there's certainly no short of interest among consumers. So what's driving this demand, and how do you establish yourself in an increasingly saturated market? I'm delighted to welcome three wellness gurus to the program today. Firstly, I want to introduce Vicky Schilling. She's a business mentor for wellness entrepreneurs. Neil O'Murricu of Breathe with Neil also joins us. You're very welcome, Neil. And also joining us is Julie Millen of Julie B, Mindfulness and Yoga. You're all very welcome to the program, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. We might start with you, Julie. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and indeed your business, Mindfulness and Yoga?
Yeah, absolutely. So delighted to join, and a very exciting time, I think, to be talking about this topic. I guess my background, I was in the corporate world for years and years, working in quite a hectic, intense sales, I suppose, environment, and just decided it was time to move into something that filled my cup a little bit more. So I kind of started teaching yoga. God, it's over 10 years ago now, I'd say. And I teach a range of yoga, from mum and baby yoga, pregnancy yoga, right through to, I suppose, corporate yoga or just your yoga flow classes. And I suppose in the last number of years, particularly, things like mindfulness, meditation have really come to the forefront, and I've seen a huge rise in demand for that area. And it's great to see it, particularly across the corporates. I think there was certainly from my side a dip in it through COVID on the corporate side, just that initial scramble. But very quickly that's come back. So it's kind of back in full force now. And I suppose I do kind of mix across all elements.
Okay.
And it's really good to see that drive coming back.
Okay, stay with us, Julie. I want to bring in our other two guests. Vicky Schilling, a business mentor for wellness entrepreneur. Vicky, you're very welcome to the program. Tell us a little bit about you and indeed your business.
Yeah, so I basically plug the gap for entrepreneurs, people that are qualified in wellness. So often my clients are nutritionists, health coaches, personal trainers, yoga teachers like Julie. And often I find they are qualified, they come out of colleges, but they don't have the business know-how to then go on and get clients, you know how to do their marketing, know how to set themselves up online. And so that's the gap that I really try and plug with people.
And that sounds to me like a very clever niche, and a niche that would be in fairly serious demand, because I can see that many of the people that are involved in this space could do with the type of assistance that you provide.
Absolutely. And I think some of that is practical advice. It's things that they've never done before, maybe build a website or build a social media presence, or know how to describe their services, what they do, but also quite a lot of mindset as well, a lot of self-belief, believing that they are capable of doing this, that they can help people change, that they can charge money for it. All of that, I try and bring all of that together.
We'll come back to that in a minute, because I think that's what our listeners will be interested in. That our third guest is Neil O'Murricu of Breathe with Neil. Neil, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, Breathe with Neil, how did that all come about?
Well, since I was a teenager, I had great interest in helping people to improve how they perform, how they feel, even how they think through natural methods. And that has brought me to many interesting places. But the focus for me has really been now in the last maybe 5-6 years on helping people breathe better. So the better we breathe, the better we feel, the better we live. It's one of the most effective ways of dealing with stress. It's one of the most effective ways of improving our health. So,
And what you do is, you're one of the people that you work with is Wim Hof, is that right?
That's right.
And this is cold water. He's a cold water breathing expert. So
yes.
Maybe explain to me how that all works.
Yeah, so there's a fundamental link between the cold and our breathing. So in the moment that we're born, it's the shock of the cold on our skin that forces us to take our first breath. So right from the beginning of our existence, the cold is there as a force for good, perhaps, in our life. But most people try to ignore it, really, and kind of push it away. But when we learn to breathe again in the cold, when we learn to be able to breathe under the stress of the cold, that then teaches us that we can breathe during all the difficult situations.
Okay. Okay, well, more about that in a minute, Neil. And again, as I say, you're very welcome. Back to you, Julie. In terms of your own business, would I be right in saying that there's been an opportunity with corporates to basically entice people back into work, and that they're using wellness maybe as a hook around that to get employees to come back to the office?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it was great initially during COVID. It all went online and it was a great way for corporates to just look after their employees as well, physically, mentally. But now, certainly what I'm seeing is the online option is kind of being dropped in a lot of my corporates, and it's moving into being in the office. So, you know, it's encouraging people to come back on certain days to get everybody back in together, to kind of bring that social and get people back socializing, seeing each other. We've gotten very used to seeing people on screens. And so they're using that as kind of little hooks to bring people back in. Exactly, Bobby.
Yeah, okay. Vicky, in terms of the expertise that you provide to your clients, maybe let's talk about that for a second. So if I'm somebody who's maybe like Julie, I'm committed to teaching yoga, I'm very good at it, I'm qualified at it, but I want to make money out of this, I want to make a living out of this. Let's run through some of the basics.
Yeah.
Not to stereotype anybody, but just the type of advice that you would generally give.
I generally try and go through five pillars that I think are the kind of core essentials. The first one for me is clarity on who it is you're trying to help. I think it's really important that you know, you can imagine who is the ideal client for this service, for this yoga service, for this nutrition service. People want specialists these days. They
yeah.
want someone who really knows their stuff in that particular area. So getting really clear on what that is. Secondly, creating packages and services that are really clear and easy to buy. I think it's very easy when people qualify to say, well, I can help you, you know, just I'll design something bespoke for everybody. It's very hard to market that. And so I really help people design something very specific, really tangible. And also the third pillar for me is selling, getting really comfortable with talking about what you do, explaining it, talking about the tangible or the intangible ways that it can and benefit people, and not feeling uncomfortable about selling, because a lot of people are not used to that. And the fourth and the fifth pieces for me are creating an online presence. So I think a website and a mailing list are really, really helpful for kind of sustainability, longevity, people finding you rather than yeah. you having to go out and find them. And that five pillar for me, I call it connection, but it can be any way really to get in front of new people. Some people will find that really comfortable on social media. Some people would rather do it in different ways. PR, for example, you know, going and speaking in different audiences, but we need to find some way to get in front of new people. So those are the basics
sure.
that I try and cover with
everyone. And all very, very wise and sage advice. Going back to you, Neil, how did you manage to create a business out of this? Would I be right in saying that you maybe transitioned yourself out of the I think you were involved in digital corporate
yes.
affairs, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you decide one day that you were going to make breathing your business? And did you have a vision that was going to say, well, I'm currently working here, I obviously have a family, I have young kids, but I don't want to do this anymore, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Was that an active plan?
Yeah, so I had seen a few people make the jump quite suddenly and fail quite suddenly.
Yeah.
They had given up the day job and just jumped straight into it.
Yeah.
So I have four children, so I had quite a lot of responsibility to make sure everyone was still being looked after. So I was freelancing at the time in digital communication, and I had the wellness business, but I let it grow. The idea that I had was the wellness business was like this beautiful flower, and if I put too much pressure on it, I'd kill it off. So I just let it, so it went from having one event a month to maybe two events, and
yeah.
it started to build and build. And there was a point at which it was about 50-50 in terms of income. And then very quickly, like we started as a business in 2017. So it was becoming more mainstream over the years. And then there was a point at which the freelance stuff had just fallen away and the wellness business was the business.
Yeah.
But it was a gradual thing just because of my circumstances. I had a lot of people to keep.
Yeah, but it's a great example of, you know, finding what to doing what you love, number one, and transitioning yourself away maybe from something that you're not, but not just saying, you know, I'm out of here or I'm going to do this, because you did it in a careful and calculated way, which meant sure it was successful.
Yeah, the bills had to be paid. I felt that as long as all the bills were being paid, that didn't put pressure on this young business.
Sure.
You know, and that was, I think, for me, the key to success, to let it grow by itself.
Yeah, yeah. Back to you then, Julie, in terms of yoga, is yoga for everybody? I know you said yourself that the first time you were invited to a yoga class, what attracted you was that there was a glass of wine being served afterwards. But is yoga for everybody?
Yeah, do you know, I really, truly believe it is. And it, you know, when I was growing up and I heard of yoga, I was like, that's just not for me. I was one of those people that liked to go to the gym and sweat it out and everything had to be really intense. And, you know, my first yoga class, I was dragged along because the girl who brought me was like, we'll go and grab a glass of wine afterwards. But certainly in the early days for me, it was very much a physical practice. And I was really surprised at how much it challenged me, both physically and mentally. And it took me a while to even just let myself accept that, because I just couldn't switch off. Like, I would always have said, I'm one of those people, I just don't switch off. But actually, it's something about that first class, even past the wine, really caught my curiosity, because it did challenge me in ways I didn't expect. And it's about having an open mind. And I've always felt that if I could do yoga, anyone could do yoga. And that's part of what I love about my job. I do a lot of work with, like, I do a lot of private clients. That's kind of where my focus has been over the last number of years. And I love that because it's very tailored. It's very specific. You have people who wanted to just, you know, whether it's coming back from an injury, whether it's to build strength, whether there's so many different things, people who've gone through a trauma or just, you know, needed for a bit of headspace. And I truly believe whether it's, you know, it is a workout, it is a bit of headspace, there's something for everybody. But I think what's really important is finding the right teacher. It's the same with anything, you know, and people have different styles. It's not saying one is good or bad or right or wrong necessarily. It's more, it's really about finding who you connect with, what you connect with. And and I think 100% it, there is something there for everybody.
What about, Vicky, maybe to ask you about, you know, when we hear the term wellness, it can actually mean different things to different people. What about qualification? What about regulation? This whole area where it seems to me to be quite an unregulated space. And does that cause difficulties?
Yeah, I think it does. I try and work alongside and teach at some of the colleges where there are, you know, kind of guidelines and professional qualifications put in. You're right. And as the industry has grown, and you gave the stats at the beginning, how lucrative it potentially can be. There are people that are, you know, the snake oil salesmen that say, I can cure this and I can do, you know, I can do that for you. And they have no qualifications whatsoever. So I really try and steer my work towards the people that have gone through that more rigorous process. I think there will be more coming in. I do think there is a kind of demand and an urge for things like protecting terms like nutritionist, for example, or making sure that there is kind of guidelines and regulations and kind of oversight of these different practices. Unfortunately, I think it will happen in any industry where there'll be someone who's, you know, rogue and tries to you know, pass themselves off as someone qualified. But I really try and encourage my clients to make sure that they have got that really professional qualification in it, and that then they build their kind of reputation off the back of that and really specialising in what it is that they do.
Okay. Neil, back to you. In terms of developing the business, am I right in there's only one Neil who's obviously a breathing expert? How do you replicate yourself to grow the business?
Well, that was a big question that we were looking at in the last couple of years, especially since COVID. Before COVID, all our business was in person.
Yeah.
So COVID was, in a way, a blessing in disguise, because it forced us to look at how we can scale and move things online. So for me, the focus now is that I teach other people how to be breathwork teachers. So we have the Blissful Breath Academy. So we have people flying in from all over Europe to Dublin to learn this. And ultimately, this is where, for me, I see the future is that I can teach more people to be teachers, and they can get in, they can get into their communities, into their businesses, and they can spread it that way.
So is that your business now, per se, or is that the business that you'll ultimately end up in?
That's
where you're teaching people to teach.
Yeah, that's where we're kind of transitioning into at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I think...
So it's not a franchise, it's not a method, or
No, we're looking at, we teach people how to use the most effective, safest ways of breathing that have been tested over thousands of years, to teach them in a very simple way to everybody. Our vision is better breathing for everybody.
Yeah.
So we want people to be able to take it into schools, into their communities, into their companies, wherever they are. And I think that is where I can have the biggest impact, because my time is finite. But if I put my time into creating more breathwork teachers and it spreads that way, I think that's the way to have a real impact.
But you're not going to be part of their success.
No. I have been through many different kind of practices, and our approach is we want it to be as open and everyone to prosper.
You know?
So if someone comes and they learn from us at the Blissful Breath Academy, they can take that and make it their own. It's not a franchise. This is about helping as many people as possible.
Okay, and you're touching now 4,000 people a month at this stage.
Yeah, so we have quite a big reach across all the different channels and the amount of events that we run. I think people are understanding that it's very important that they look after themselves a bit more. And I think that, you know, there's lots of practices that help them do that. And slowly people are realizing that breathing is probably the most fundamental of all those practices. It links it all together.
Okay. Back to you, Julie, in terms of the saturation of the market. We were talking to Vicky there earlier about the need for qualification. Do you find it a crowded space in terms of competition? And do you find yourself competing maybe with people that, you know, don't hold the relevant qualifications?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real challenge at the moment. And I think COVID amplified that. You had a lot of yoga studios which started doing trainings in order to survive. So there's not a criticism there, but the reality is you have a lot of teachers who've come through that did their training and never put their hands on a body. You know, like the training when I did it years ago, it was very, very detailed. There was a lot of hands-on practice. There was a lot of, you had to go get so many hours built up to kind of get a qualification. Whereas it's much easier to get a qualification now. And it's like, you know, just as Vicky was saying, I think it's great to see that there's people out there just like Vicky who are really helping people realize that, you know, it's really important to have the right qualifications. I don't work in that area, but I would know a lot of kind of people who've done yoga teacher training, and then they come to me to help them just to be able to teach better because they don't understand, you know, the adjustments or the anatomy as much because they just haven't had it in their training. And it is like it's a worry for me who's been around, I suppose, for a longer time. Not that there's more competition. I think competition is great. What worries me is that there's a lot of yoga teachers out there who haven't had that experience, hands-on experience, and that detail that I think is really needed, because, you know, people come into a yoga class, you're twisting your body and stretching your body in lots of different ways, and it's really important, and I believe there's a really responsibility on the teacher to look after your students.
Sure.
So you need to know, you know, there's a huge level that you need to know, and unfortunately I feel that has been missing. So I'm, you know, really hoping that it comes to a point where those, I suppose, the regulations are improved.
Okay. Last word to you, Vicky. As somebody who touches a lot of, I suppose, arms of this business, is it a good sector to be in? Is it one that you'd be optimistic for looking forward?
Absolutely. People ask me that a lot, you know, how much can I earn? And do you think, you know, am I mad going into this? And like we've said, we've looked at the stats and the statistics. I actually think it's a really rewarding profession to be able to go into. A lot of people I help are often coming out of burnout from a corporate job, or maybe they're empty nesters and they're requalifying. And it's something that feels really, really rewarding for them. If they can blend together a really good qualification, getting, you know, their marketing up and running in a way that feels really aligned, it can feel like a wonderful thing to do with your time and can be financially rewarding too.
Okay, well, I've learned a lot here this morning from my wellness guests. I want to thank Vicky Schilling. She's the business mentor and wellness entrepreneurs. Julie Milne from Julie B Mindfulness and Yoga, thank you for letting us into your world. And indeed, Neil O'Murricu of Breed with Neil, thank you for sharing your journey with us as well. So good luck to you all, and thanks for letting us into your world.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.